Welcome back to another episode of the Teardrop Sessions, where music becomes the map to our deepest emotions. I'm your host, Cressida, and today I have a story that still gives me chills every time I think about it. Have you ever had a song find you at exactly the right moment? Not you finding it, but it finding you. Like the universe conspired to press play at the precise second your soul needed those exact frequencies. Today's story is about Marcus. 17 years old, caught in that peculiar purgatory between childhood and whatever comes next. And it's about a night when Massive Attack's Teardrop became more than just a song. It became a lifeline, a confession booth, and a time machine all at once. But before I tell you about that night, I need you to understand something about Marcus. Picture this, a kid who carried his stress like armor, wore his anxiety like a second skin. His bedroom walls were covered in concert posters, Pink Floyd melting into Radiohead, the Beatles shaking hands with Kendrick Lamar. Music wasn't just his hobby, it was his translator for feelings he couldn't put into words. His mother used to say he had old soul syndrome, you know the type. The kid who notices too much, feels too deeply, thinks in layers when everyone else is skimming the surface. His father, a jazz musician who'd traded his saxophone for a steady accounting job, would sometimes catch Marcus staring at nothing, and he'd recognize that look. It was the same expression he used to wear when a melody was forming in his mind, back when melodies still mattered more than mortgages. The day it all came to a head started like any other Tuesday in March. Rain tapping against windows like nervous fingers, the kind of persistent drizzle that makes everything feel heavy and inevitable. Marcus had three exams that week, a college application essay that refused to write itself, and a best friend, Jamie, who'd stopped returning his calls after their fight about God. He couldn't even remember what the fight was about anymore. Something stupid, something that felt monumentally important at the time but now just felt like static. At school, he moved through the hallways like a ghost. You know that feeling when you're physically present but emotionally you're somewhere else entirely. That dissociative dance we all do when the weight gets too heavy. That was Marcus, every single day for the past month. His English teacher, Mrs. Rodriguez, one of those rare educators who actually saw her students, pulled him aside after class. Marcus, she said, and the way she said his name was like she was trying to call him back from wherever he'd drifted. Your last essay on music and memory, it was brilliant. But I'm worried about you. He gave her the smile he'd perfected. The one that said I'm fine without requiring actual words. The one every teenager masters when they're drowning but don't want to bother anyone with their struggle. But he wasn't fine. Haven't we all been there? That place where you're simultaneously empty and overflowing. Where your thoughts race so fast they blur into white noise, but you can't grab hold of a single one long enough to examine it. That night, Marcus came home to an empty house. His mom was working late again. She'd been picking up extra shifts at the hospital ever since his dad's hours got cut. There was a note on the fridge, leftover pasta in the microwave. Love you, Mom. He didn't eat, couldn't eat. His stomach was a knot of anxiety that food couldn't untangle. He climbed the stairs to his room, each step feeling like he was walking through molasses. His backpack, heavy with textbooks and unfinished assignments, dropped to the floor with a thud that seemed to echo his exhaustion. And then he saw it. On his desk, next to his laptop, was his father's old iPod. The silver one from 2005, scratched and dented from years of being carried in pockets and dropped on sidewalks. His dad had given it to him last Christmas with a strange look in his eyes. "This has gotten me through some things," his father had said, pressing it into Marcus's hands. "Maybe it'll do the same for you." Marcus had charged it, scrolled through the thousands of songs, but hadn't really used it much. He had Spotify, after all. But tonight felt different. He picked it up, put in the earbuds, those old white ones that came with every iPod, the ones that never quite fit right but somehow sounded perfect. He scrolled through the artists. Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and then, surprisingly, Massive Attack. His father listened to Massive Attack. Curious, Marcus clicked on the album, Mezzanine. And there it was, track 3, Teardrop. He'd heard the song before, of course. It was one of those tracks that existed in the cultural consciousness, floating through TV shows and movies, haunting coffee shops and late-night radio. But he'd never really listened to it. Never let it inside. Marcus lay down on his bed, still in his school clothes, shoes still on. The rain outside had picked up, drumming against his window in a rhythm that seemed to sync with the song's heartbeat bassline. And then something shifted. You know how sometimes a song doesn't just play, it unfolds. How certain combinations of frequencies can unlock doors in your mind you didn't even know were closed. That's what happened to Marcus in that moment. As Liz Fraser's ethereal voice wrapped around him like smoke, his racing thoughts began to slow, then reorganize, then transform into something else entirely. It was like watching a kaleidoscope settle into focus. The first memory hit him like a wave. He was 7 years old, sitting in the back of his parents' car. They were driving home from his grandmother's funeral, and nobody was speaking. The radio was playing something soft and sad, and his mother was crying silently in the passenger seat, her shoulders shaking with the effort of keeping quiet. His father's hands gripped the steering wheel so tight his knuckles were white. Marcus remembered wanting to say something, anything, to make it better. But he was seven, and death was still an abstraction, and all he could do was watch the streetlights blur past the window and wonder why grown-ups tried so hard to hide their tears. The memory dissolved, replaced by another. Age 12, the first day of middle school. He'd worn his favorite band t-shirt, the Beatles, Abbey Road, thinking it would be a conversation starter. Instead, some kid named Tyler had laughed and called it Grandpa Music. The humiliation had been total, crushing. But that afternoon, his father had picked him up from school, seen his face, and without saying a word, had put on Come Together in the car. You know what's cool about having different taste? His father had said as John Lennon's voice filled the space between them. It means you're not afraid to like what you like. That's rarer than you think, kiddo. But the memory that hit hardest, the one that made Marcus's closed eyes sting with sudden tears, was from just 6 months ago. His parents in the kitchen, having the conversation they thought he couldn't hear. His father's voice, usually so steady, cracking as he talked about feeling like a failure. About trading his dreams for stability and still coming up short. His mother's response, fierce and loving, "You are not your job. You are not your paycheck. You are the man who taught our son that music is medicine, that art matters, that feeling deeply is a gift, not a curse." As Teardrop continued its hypnotic pulse, Marcus felt something inside him crack open. All the stress, all the pressure, all the fear of not being enough, of letting everyone down, of failing before he'd even really started, it all came pouring out. But here's the thing about crying to the right song at the right moment: it's not just release, it's revelation. With each beat of the song, each crystalline note, Marcus began to understand something. His racing thoughts weren't just anxiety, they were his mind trying to process everything at once, trying to hold all the complexities of growing up in a world that demanded simple answers to complicated questions. The confusion wasn't weakness, it was his psyche's way of acknowledging that life isn't binary, that you can love your parents and be frustrated with them, that you can be grateful for what you have and still want more, that you can be strong and still need to fall apart sometimes. And then came the memory that changed everything. 2 years ago, his cousin Sarah's wedding. His father, after a few drinks, had gotten up with the band and played saxophone for the first time in years. Marcus had watched from his table as his dad transformed. The accountant melted away, replaced by the musician he'd always been underneath. The whole room had erupted in applause when he finished, but his father's eyes had sought out only Marcus and his mother. Later, in the parking lot, his father had said, "You know what I realized up there? I didn't trade my dreams. I just learned that dreams can change shape. My music lives in you now, in the way you hear the world. That's not a lesser thing. That's evolution." As Teardrop entered its final minute, Marcus felt something settle in his chest. Not resolution, exactly, but recognition. Recognition that everyone, his parents, his teachers, even Tyler from middle school, was carrying their own invisible weight. That growing up wasn't about having answers, but about learning to live with questions. That strength wasn't about not breaking, but about how you put yourself back together. He must have fallen asleep at some point, because the next thing he knew, his mother was sitting on the edge of his bed, gently removing his earbuds. The iPod had been playing on repeat. Teardrop had become his lullaby, his confession, his prayer. "Bad day?" she asked softly, brushing his hair back from his forehead the way she used to when he was small. Marcus opened his mouth to give the automatic "I'm fine," but what came out instead was, "I don't know how to do all of this." His mother smiled, and in that smile was every mother who'd ever watched their child struggle with becoming themselves. "Nobody does, baby. We're all just making it up as we go. But you know what? You're doing better than you think." She noticed the iPod in his hand. "Your dad's?" Marcus nodded. "He used to play that song on repeat when you were a baby," she said. "Said it was the only thing that would calm you down when you were colicky. You'd be screaming your head off, and he'd put on teardrop, and you'd just stop. Like you recognized it from somewhere else. His father appeared in the doorway, home from work, still in his shirt and tie but somehow looking more like himself than he had in months. Family meeting in Marcus's room? He asked with a gentle smile. And so they sat there, the three of them, on Marcus's too small bed, not saying much but saying everything. His father picked up the iPod, scrolled through it with nostalgic fingers. You know, he said, I've been thinking about starting a band again. Nothing serious, just some guys from work who play. Thought maybe you'd want to come listen sometime. Tell us if we're any good. Marcus felt something loosen in his chest. Yeah, he said, I'd like that. They talked for another hour about school, about stress, about the strange alchemy of growing up in a world that seemed to speed up every day. His parents shared their own stories of confusion and clarity, of nights when they, too, had let music carry them through the darkness. And Marcus realized something profound. We're all just searching for our rhythm in the chaos, trying to find the beat that makes sense of the noise. The next morning, Marcus woke up feeling different. Not fixed, this isn't that kind of story. But altered, like, Teardrop, had rewired something essential in his nervous system, had given him a new frequency to tune into when the static got too loud. He called Jamie, apologized for whatever it was they'd fought about. Jamie laughed and admitted he couldn't remember either. They made plans to hang out that weekend, to just drive around and listen to music like they used to before everything got so complicated. At school, when Mrs. Rodriguez asked how he was doing, Marcus gave her a real smile this time. Still figuring it out, he said. But I think that's okay. She nodded, understanding in her eyes. The best of us always are. And so Marcus learned what many of us discover in our own time, in our own way, that sometimes the most profound therapy comes in 5 minutes and 29 seconds of the right song at the right moment. That our racing thoughts aren't enemies to be conquered but messengers trying to tell us we're feeling more than we can process alone. That confusion isn't a flaw in the system, it's proof that we're complex enough to hold multiple truths at once. But here's what stayed with me most about Marcus's story when he shared it with me years later. When he was in college studying music therapy, following in neither his father's abandoned footsteps nor his mother's practical ones, but forging his own path between art and healing. He said that night with Teardrop taught him that we all have a soundtrack to our becoming. Songs that find us in our darkest moments and remind us that someone, somewhere, has felt this exact shade of lost and lived to sing about it. That music isn't just sound organized in time, it's proof that we're not alone in our racing thoughts, our confusion, our desperate need to make sense of it all. He still has that iPod. Still plays Teardrop when the world gets too loud and his thoughts start racing like they did that night. But now he knows what his 17-year-old self was just beginning to understand. The race isn't toward some finish line where everything makes sense. The race is the dance itself, the beautiful, terrifying, necessary choreography of becoming human. And sometimes, if we're very lucky, we find a song that runs alongside us, keeping pace with our heartbeat, reminding us that every runner in this race is listening for the same thing, the sound of their own soul making sense of the distance between who they were and who they're becoming. Marcus is 25 now. He works with teenagers who carry their stress like armor, wear their anxiety like second skin. He has a playlist for each of them, carefully curated soundtracks for their becoming. And yes, Teardrop is on every single one. Because some songs aren't just music. They're maps. They're medicine. They're proof that someone else has been lost in exactly this way and found their way through to the other side, one note at a time. When I asked Marcus what he would tell his 17-year-old self if he could go back to that night, he thought for a long moment. I'd tell him that the confusion is sacred, he said finally. That the racing thoughts are just your soul trying to take in the whole of life at once. And that somewhere, in someone's old iPod or in the algorithm of a streaming service or in the dusty bins of a record store, there's a song waiting to find you at exactly the moment you need to be found. And I'd tell him to trust the music. It knows the way home, even when you don't. This has been the Teardrop Sessions. I'm Cressida, reminding you that your soundtrack is out there, waiting. All you have to do is press play and listen, really listen, to what it's trying to tell you about yourself. Until next time, keep your headphones close and your heart open. You never know when the next song will change everything.